and Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening. Welcome to Evident Footprints here on bbsradio.com. I'm so happy to be with you this evening, and we have a wonderful show for you, very informative one, and one that I know is going to move in a spiritual direction. Before bringing our guest on this evening, I just want to remind those of you who have not looked at the calendar yet this month, on the East Coast, it is December the 12th, and in about 58 minutes, it's going to be December the 12th in the Central Time Zone. And, of course, we got another hour to go for the West Coast, so you're still behind us a bit. But we're going to bring you up to speed real fast, and that includes those at the studio. All right. By the way, I want to give out a special thanks to Don and Seth at BBS Radio for doing such a great job helping me get my information up on the web page and getting my show stuff together on my bio page and all that stuff, links and everything. You're welcome to go to directlightproductions.com to read up on anything I have posted in the news category, and as well as check out some of the podcast insertions there. Got some music, some interviews. Also in the articles and archive section at my website. Again, that's directlightproductions.com. I've got some major, what some in the industry call hit pieces that were published in the Idaho Observer, as well as some follow-up articles that Ken Adachi did on his site, educate-yourself.org. And it's follow-up on my research as well as that of Eric Orion, the true identities of the Bush family and the manner in which they put together the Federal Reserve. And, well, we talked about the suspicious death of Otto Skor, Nikola Tesla, who was murdered, according to Otto Skorzeny, by Skorzeny and Reinhard Gehlen on January 6th of 1943. So we're approaching an anniversary of Tesla's death in less than a month. Now, in addition to that, I want to thank all the folks out there that have been nonstop sending emails and making phone calls to talk about how excited they are about the show and the quality of the guests. We're going to maintain that quality from show to show. I've got Rick Adams, who is known as the Paul Revere of radio, on tomorrow evening. And the following evening, I'm expecting Fred Smart, who used to be the national volunteer coordinator for Aaron Russo, the producer of the America Freedom to Fascism film. All things willing and God helping us out, Fred will be with us Thursday night. On Friday night, I have another talk show host, Mr. Charlie Giuliani. So this is like talk show week. We're going to have at least four talk show hosts on this show. So I'm going to have to be on my best behavior. And also with tonight's guest, who is a frequent talk show contributor. She is also a lecturer. I would describe her as, and I gave her this designation myself, I would describe her as a constitutional activist. She should have been a minister, and she still may be one before it's all over. With that, I'll just bring her on board all the way from Arkansas. We have tonight with us Mary Ann Ponder. Mary Ann, how are you tonight?
Mr. Nikoloff, I'm very well. Thank you, sir. Good to be here.
Call me Don, okay?
Well, I called you Mr. Nikoloff out of my respect for you and because I want to honor you and because you are my friend. I'll call you, Don. Yes, I plan to.
Okay, just don't call me late for dinner, okay?
Well, you got here just in time. I told you, I just put on my lipstick, and so that's always a good sign. I didn't have my time to put my makeup on. I've just turned the lights out so nobody would notice that. I was in the dictionary up until about 3 minutes ago, and, you know, I've got my notes and all semi-together. They're still sort of scattered, and so that's just about my normal right there. Your introduction really is far more. I mean, I am honored to be here, Don, and I'm humbled to be here. When I've looked back and seen your plaudits, your tremendous amounts of accomplishments in so many different fields, the rich texture of your multidimensional spirit. When I look back and see that, and then when I consider the folks that will be on, you mentioned Fred Smart. He is a wonderful man. I know him, and I know he's got an unusual gift of insight into so many things. And I also have a tremendous amount of respect for Rick Adams. Just spoke with him tonight, as a matter of fact, to let him know that you would be addressing the case of Rick Stanley specifically.
Now, what about Charlie Giuliani? Do you know him?
Actually, I've seen the name now a time or two, and I may have heard him a time or two, but I can't say, no, I don't have the knowledge of him that I do of the others. When it comes to names, I can be real slow at times, you know. I tell people, if I don't get your name the first time, just give me a chance to get it the third time, and then I've got it.
Okay. He is no relation to the cross-dressing presidential candidate, I'll say that.
Yes. Well, I had seen him on your lineup, yeah.
Okay, right. And he is he has a show on RBN, as does Rick Stanley and Fred Smart. All of them happen to have a show on RBN. They're really bringing the issues to our attention. What's going on in the government, the finances, and this is important because virtually everything being done to us right now is intended to destroy us financially.
Yes.
And we have to speak out about this. The people are definitely seeing something is wrong. They don't know exactly what's going on because these people are so busy feeding their children, getting them to school, supporting their family, making their house payment, their car payment, and maybe trying to relax a little bit on the weekends just to pick up the grind again, that they're not really aware of what's going on a constitutional level, on a political level, even a religious level. Everything is upside down right now. You know, what's black is white, and what's white is black. I mean,
well, I think we'll have a chance to address that tonight just a little bit, I hope. And while you mentioned this, you said three things I need to respond to, if you will. I'm sorry I haven't listened to Charles Giuliani's programs yet on RBN. I know most of, not all, but I know most of the tremendous host, I think, at RBN. And there's a couple of points you brought up that I really want to just address shortly. And one is, I'd really want to give a plug for RBN and for John Stadmiller. And not all people feel that way, and I understand that. But we've been placed into a matrix where there's a force that's trying to divide us, and it's bad enough to shoot ourselves in the foot, never mind shooting somebody else in the foot when we're all on, sort of the same side anyway. It's time that we come together and bring our ideas, bring our resources, bring those people we know who have expertise in certain fields, and let those people with that expertise address that one problem, whether it's global warming, which not, the legal situation that we face now with Rick Stanley and so many, Betty and Elaine Brown and others who are serving time, et cetera. And I think just a little bit of real expertise in one place at one time to address one problem, I think we could solve some things fairly quickly. Call me Pollyanna, you know.
Well, I brought you on for this reason. You know, I hear you call into a lot of the other shows, and I know that you devote a lot of time to doing the research, to listening to what qualified teachers and preachers and those that, you know, the researchers and the authors. You listen to what they say. You do your homework. And,
well, you know, on my own notes here, as I was making preparations under intro, you know, a lecturer, well, I've been accused of talking too much, okay? And then I guess really and truly I could kind of, one classification is I feel like I'm just sort of a professional student. I love to learn, and I love to be in the audience of those who speak to things that I would say if I were intelligent enough to or educated enough well to say. So I search out those people of excellence. And God, I think I've really been blessed to find some voices that speak into my heart with truth. And if there's any of that truth tonight that I can impart, that's my desire and goal. And I will assure you right now, Donna, I'm absolutely, this will sound like I'm tooting my horn. I'm not. I'm an absolute walking miracle, and it's not because of anything I have ever done, except that I know that I've sought out truth for a long, long time. And I've been humbled and shattered many ways along the way. I shouldn't be here mentally. I shouldn't be here physically. Like you know, and many of your audience knows, we've all gone through some near incidents where we had every opportunity in the world to not be here. So anyone tonight listening to this, I don't think they're here by accident. I think it was designed. I think it's a divine appointment.
And you made it with your lipstick on, and even though you didn't get your makeup on, you reached over and turned out the light. So.
And I forgot to put my boots on, so I am definitely out of order.
Okay. All right, Marianne, I wanna focus on the point for a little bit here anyway, as to why you're here tonight, and you have an important message. And it's about Rick Stanley, who happens to be in prison right now. And it's really a sad story. You know, I looked at the legal aspect of this, and if you read it on the surface, you get the feeling he broke the law. When in reality, he was a threat to the powers that be, wasn't he? He was going to run for office. He was challenging the attack on the Constitution. And he was standing for not just the principles, but standing up for the rest of us. And
he, in fact, as I see it, he was not breaking the law. Now, allegedly, he crossed the city ordinance. Federal law was with him, state law was with him, and there was that little entanglement, you know, that city ordinance. And what should have been a very cut-and-dried matter and not a matter of great significance was greatly escalated. He had two arrests in two counties, and it was on the carrying of a handgun. And then during the course of his trials, he's been through a six-year legal battle. And during the course of that, when speaking to the judge in a non-threatening way, he simply was speaking to the rights we have under the Constitution, and that for those who do abuse their power, we do have legal course we're supposed to have. And at that point, I think it was said that the judge felt like he'd been threatened.
Well, I know that he questioned whether or not the judge had taken the oath of office.
Okay, that's a key point. And there is an oath. And I hadn't even thought to bring it up, but there is an oath that can be taken that many people do take, and I believe it's called a cold deedre, and you'll have to have somebody else with greater expertise speak to this. But I think it's called a cold deedre oath, and that oath is taken by individuals who are basically saying, we're going to take this one first, this oath first thing in the year. And then what this means is any oath we take after this does not matter.
Yes,
and
that's correct.
If you're dealing with people in places of authority, that's a very serious matter. And I want to clear up something to you and make perfectly clear, I hope. I am not a historian. I am not an attorney. I am not a lot of things. And So therefore, I feel that I'm not able to really offer a definitive statement, even sometimes maybe a definitive yes or no, because this is not an area that I'm clear on. And I really do hope that after we cover some of the basic points, I really do hope that as an investigator, and because of your friendship with people like Don Harkins, who has already written some things on this subject, I would love to see a panel, a citizens panel brought together who can review this that's happened with Rick, and not only that, but address sort of the entire prison system, because what it's doing to our society is just god-awful. It's awful.
Yes, they've just turned it into a cash cow, basically.
It is a cash cow, and every dollar that's spent for prisons is a dollar that cannot be spent for education, it cannot be spent for health, it cannot be spent for positive, truthful research and development. It cannot be spent for infrastructure, rebuilding roads. It cannot be spent for that which we build jobs in our nation, and we've got to bring jobs back to America, and that brings me to a point. I'll make a note, and we'll cover it later, with time permitting. But, to really capsulate, that act of speaking to the judge in an honest, forthright, legal, non-threatening manner escalated that into two counts, two felonies, 2 3-year sentences, to be served as not consecutively, so that's a 6-year sentence. And he was arrested on December the 15th, 2001. And October the 15th, 2007, his surety bond of $80,000 was revoked. He was taken into immediate custody to begin serving his prison time. And now the good part is he had applied for reconsideration from the Colorado Supreme Court that was refused. And in Rick Stanley's words, that may be a blessing in disguise, because now he can go directly to the federal appeals court and very likely have reversed that decision in those lower courts.
Yeah, the revoking of the bond and all these charges. I think there was a $10,000 fine, and then $8,200 in restitution to the local SWAT team for protecting the judge. I mean, this is ridiculous. You know, the
right.
man is
and
in
then
jail.
In addition to that, there was also the $10 a day to wear the ankle monitor with the GPS system, and that I figured out to be $300 a month, and I thought, well, that's almost like paying rent, you know? And then, of course, on his earlier lesser charges, there was also, you know, I think a $500-and-something and then a $700-and-something-dollar charge, time in jail, and then with one of those charges, I think it was like 71 hours of community service. But Rick Stanley's website, stanley2002.org, is an absolute treasure trove on everything pertaining to his case, all of the statements he made during his campaign regarding the issues and his beliefs as to how they should be addressed. There's the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Federalist Papers, a host of things that you could spend a week at his website and still not be through with it. And then there's a link also that carries you to more information about his case there at victimsoflaw.net. And that website itself is, again, another treasure trove. And while I'm bringing up legal law treasure troves, let me just please mention there's a wonderful website, barefootsworld.net. Have you ever heard of that, Don?
Yes, in fact, I've been there. I've been to that site.
It is an absolutely awesome site. And not only does Barefoot Windwalker, I've never had the pleasure and privilege to meet this gentleman, but he is a gentleman and a scholar. It's absolutely amazing the amount of material he's got on there having to do with law, government, history, and if you'll scroll down about halfway through the page, He's got a link, and it's called the First Million Moms March. And for anyone who doubts our necessity of maintaining our gun rights, they need to click on that and look on that. It's not a pretty picture, but it's truth. And we've got to maintain those. But that's another place that's rich in information. So that's something that will help many in your audience. I could spend a month there myself reading and still not finish it up. It's an awesome website. And
yeah,
can I mention? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, that's
well,
okay.
When I turned off my cable for about 7 years. And then I decided, they made me mad, they dropped somebody I needed to hear. So I thought, well, I'm not going to pay for something I don't need. So I called them back, I turned it on, and there was Lou Dobbs on CNN talking about some, you know, things like our jobs going to China, our borders being open, illegals that come across the border that shouldn't be in our country, a few other things, and it was like, as if I had awakened in a new world. And I thought, this can't be. This is America. This is a republic, the United States of America. And I thought, we are too smart for this. What's going on? And so I started just doing some reading and researching, and I decided I wanted to reach out and meet a few other people. And one of the first people I really came across was Rick Stanley's website. He had his phone number, and I just called him, and he said he'd be glad to talk to me. And I did the same thing with a couple here in Arkansas, Joe and Barb McCutcheon, and they've got a wonderful website, ArkansasFreedom.com. And then if I might mention one other friend, I contacted a fellow by the name of Officer Jack McLam that many of you will know, and he reaches out to an audience of military, police, etc., and I called him, and he said, well, I need to put you in contact with my best Marine. I said, okay. And so he put me in contact in Little Rock with an individual by the name of Drew Malone Rains III, and he does have an awesome website. It's called A Marines Disquisition, DISQUISITION. And he does also have radio Monday through Friday, 11
yes.
a.m. Central Time.
Yes. Yes,
and
I'm aware of his radio show, too, yeah.
Well, it is. Well, thank you for saying that. I'm sure he'll appreciate it. I think he's interested. He's listening, and he's typing this for me. But that's another website that's an absolute treasure trove of news. You sign up for his news and views. He reaches around the world. He has several thousand military that listen to him on a daily basis. Once a week, he interviews Bob Chapman with an international forecaster. He has him on Fridays, I believe. No, yeah, Fridays, on Fridays. And then he interviews, he's just an awesome man. I tell you, he's an individual. We've got a few people who've been willing to step up to the plate and really put it on the line. And Drew's just remarkable. He's done in his way what Rick Stanley did in his way and what Ed Brand and Lang Brown did in their way.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I was listening to Fred Smart's program the other day and reading a letter from Ed Brown, now Ed says, well, in retrospect, I may have chosen a different path. He said, if I had realized, you know, what was going on. And while before the program is over, we'll be able, I think, I really believe in my heart, there's already a hole that's been pierced through this matrix of real fear. I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, when we talk in terms of us and they, I don't like that because we are all in our own matrix, so to speak, and we got there sometimes by the very best of intentions. Who hasn't grown, you know, has seen a boy or even a girl, but a boy grow up and look at a police officer and say, gee, I want to do that. I want to be a help. I want to protect and serve. Okay? And the same thing true of those that go into military. And, you know, our whole world has so shifted in just a few years. It's not the same as it was 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. And, you know, a police officer to me is to be respected. there to be, you can stand in the gap for them in a prayerful, intercessory sort of manner, and we need to do that. And as long as the law treats me respectfully, I want to treat that law in return respectfully. And we've got a thing, and it's a force, and I can't describe it, but it's like it's trying to drive wedges between groups of people and make us all fear one another. That's going to come down tonight in the name of Jesus.
Oh, yeah. You know, Marianne, it's true what you said about the police, and whether it's police or sheriffs or people in the military. You know, I pray for the police as much as anyone else. And I pray for their tasers. I pray that they leave them home and forget to bring them to work, because they don't. We don't need to be killing people who may be in the wrong, or, you know, rightfully stopped. Let's say for running a stop sign or a red light or stealing from a store. I mean, there are reasons, there are plenty of reasons why the police can stop someone.
Right.
But I think it's ridiculous, and I find fault with those who feel that they need to be zapping people with 50,000 volts of electricity. It's enough to bring down an elephant, and they're doing it multiple times at places like airports while people are standing in line to get on a plane to go visit their family at Thanksgiving or Christmas. I'm sorry.
In college years ago, I heard of a study that had been done years prior at Harvard. And, Don, they took a class, and they divided them into two, a half and half. And one class they made to be the prisoners, and one half class they made to be the, you know, police officers or whatever. And this was just an experiment. And by the end of that time, not being real life, already those in charge had begun to abuse those who were being held, so to speak. It's a mental thing. And I tell you, there's nothing any more reassuring than a police officer standing tall in stature with integrity, with a gun on his hip and a badge on his shirt, when he's got that. We've got to be under authority if we're to be in authority. Now, this is a distinction that's very important. Under authority, under the authority of rule and law and order. And there is, on the other hand, contrary to that, there is nothing any more dangerous than someone that's not knowledgeable, has not received training, and is not a seasoned life member. To be given a badge and a gun, that's one of the most dangerous things in the world. That and going to the hospital. But now, that's true.
That and going to McDonald's, I think, or most fast food restaurants.
We just added to the list. But you know, when's the break coming up?
actually, we roll right through here.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad. Yeah. What I'm going to have to do is keep an eye on my clock to see how far along we're getting. But what I'd like to do, if I could, everyone that wants to learn about Rick Stanley's websites, I gave you Stanley2002.org, and then, excuse me, he does have a Yahoo group called the Revolutionary Coalition. Now, I know that sounds very, very dangerous, but all he has ever worked for is to unite splintered off third parties to come together to make one group and to be a viable third party. That's all it's for. And as he has talked about it many times, it's like, you know, herding cats. Well, I think he's probably given up that. I don't know that he's given it up. Maybe I shouldn't have said it that way, but it is a. But that, and then the victimsoflaw.net, and then, and I gave his business website, I think, if you don't mind my doing that. Don, he has suffered hundreds of thousands of dollars of loss in legal fees, and now that he's in prison, his wife, Pam, who's just such a precious lady, she's having to bear the burden of the business alone, and she's scheduled to have surgery. So if you'll let me give their business website, Stanley Fasteners, F-A-S-T-E-N-N-E-R-S.com, and for Christmas this year. I don't ever spend much, but maybe it's time for some of us to spend money that we can give as practical gifts. And when you're looking at light bulbs, toilet paper, nuts and bolts, we all use them and know people who do. But I'm sure they would welcome any contributions, and he would fall over in protest knowing I had even mentioned that. But I really think that this will be enough of a real backbone to fill up, to begin a skeleton on this thing, a backbone to give people information that they'll want to read, learn more about it. They can write him. I've not given you his address yet, have I?
No, but you know what? If you can email that to me, what I'll do tomorrow, I'm going to be doing a news program, which is kind of a new thing here.
I
don't know if this is the first one, but I'm doing it tomorrow afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, and 1 Pacific time. Now, Mountain would be, what, 2 o'clock? So, the time zones, everybody knows how to figure those out.
Give those times again, please.
Okay. It'll be Eastern time. It'll be at 4 o'clock.
Okay. I see what you're doing. You're giving the time for each time zone.
Yeah. It's the TNT hours, so what we're calling this. And I'm going to be reading basically all the news that's come in to the Trusted News Trader, which is
okay,
on our
website.
Okay,
and I think that'd be 3 then, Central Standard Time. 3 Central Standard
yeah.
Time. Okay,
yeah.
And this will be on BBS Radio?
Yes.
Okay.
Station number 1.
Okay, excellent.
So I will, if you want to forward me any news stories on Rick, I'll read them and talk about them during the show. It's the time to do it. Okay.
That'll be wonderful. For those that won't be able to listen to that, I could just quickly give his mailing address, if you don't mind my doing that.
Yeah, go ahead. You can do that.
Okay, Richard Stanley, number 137125, next line, DCC 4-107B, 4102 Sawmill Road. Yeah, that's Sawmill Mesa, M-E-S-A, Sawmill Mesa Road, Delta, Colorado, 81416. And cards and all will be greatly, greatly appreciated. Thank you for letting me do that,
okay.
Don. I appreciate
yeah.
that.
If you get all that to me, I'll make sure I post it. I'll post it on my website, too, that people can,
excellent.
If they want to contribute. Of course, we also want to remember prayer, too.
Prayer is the most important thing.
We've had some miracles happen. Praying for one of our weekly guests here, Jim Murray, had to go into the hospital, and it was pretty serious. And within a matter of days, he was out of the hospital.
I was listening last night, and we fail to appreciate sometimes. We, of course, in our finite mind, it's difficult to keep in context the infinite. But the word declares, whatever any two or more of you shall agree upon, it shall be done when we come to the Father in the name of Jesus. And, Joshua prayed. He was in the battle, and he prayed that the Lord, that the sun would stand still. And it did so for, I believe it was a full day, and that way he was able to finish the battle, obtain the victory before the sun continued. And prayer is the most important thing. It truly
yes.
is.
Well, he got some good medical attention, too. That's one thing. We prayed that he would get good medical attention, and he had some super doctors.
That's the way it's supposed to work. I mean, it really, really is. Speaking of which, did you get the gift that I sent you in the mail? The email gift I just sent you, it's called Quantum Physics, Music, and the Prophetic.
Oh, yes, I did. But it came in just before I went on the air, so I haven't had time. A chance to go through that, but
well, you, I thought of you immediately when I saw that, and then I found the most wonderful website this week. I've still not had time to really explore it, but it talks about the sympathetic vibratory physics, meaning it's a musical universe, and
mm-hmm.
it's got that. Can I give those two websites right quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, well, it's a complete revelation of the significance of sound in our world. But svpvril.com, and it's a 10,000-page website. It's just unbelievable. I was just blown away by it. I don't get impressed that easily. So now then, we want to talk. And one of the things I appreciate so much about you and your work, and some others I could name, I believe you'll know who I'm speaking to without my naming. But you know, within the context of learning the facts, it's not hard for fear to begin to want to move in. And even in our quest for truth and our discussion of what is going on, sometimes I think that we've majored on the minors almost. And I by no means mean this in a negative context in any way toward anyone. But, you know, we've discussed the problem. And if that would fix the problem, then we'd have it made. And this is just my viewpoint. This is just my opinion.
You're right. You said something a moment ago, too, about fear. And you know, it's one thing to know that fear's there, but if you anticipate the fear as if something's not right, if you're not feeling it, then you are inviting it, even subconsciously. You're allowing it to creep in.
I had to deal with a situation today, and it wasn't a great big deal. You know, it was just something I didn't want to deal with. But I said, oh, Lord, I don't have time for that today. Anyway, and I prayed about it, but even as I prayed, I was still watching to say, okay, did it miss, you know, did I escape that little thing? And I did, you know. And I thought, too, there was a phrase that came to mind while I was thinking along the lines of preparation for this program, and it is, you know, pray for the best, prepare for the worst. And I thought, well, now, isn't that doubt speaking? If you pray for the best, isn't the best going to happen? And I thought, well, you know, God always answers. Sometimes he answers yes, sometimes he answers no, and maybe he answers in time. But nothing wrong with being prepared. And right now, unfortunately, we've got so many people who are doing without power because of severe weather. And we all need to go back and get our Eagle Scout badge. We all need to go back and figure out, okay, if I was in my apartment, my home, for 3 weeks, a week, and for some reason, you know, supplies couldn't get through, couldn't go to the store, couldn't get out, do I have enough water stored? Do I have enough bread on hand, or, you know, go to the cupboard and find some crackers and peanut butter, or better said, let's go find, you know, be stocked up on some freeze-dried food. But we need to have some. It's just ridiculous to think that we would be helpless if we were denied the chance to go to the store for 3 days. That's ridiculous.
We've been conditioned
for trouble.
Yeah, it's a very good point you make. We've been conditioned so much to just receiving some savior in every aspect of our life, whether it's the insurance company or it's the government, the welfare bureau, or you know what I'm saying, Marianne? It's always that we expect someone else to come and solve the problem for us instead of solving it ourselves.
That is so true, and it's also just a change in lifestyle in so many ways, and also within this microwave nano time thing that we're in. And, you know, when we stand in front of the microwave, which I don't, I gave up mine months and months and months ago, but when we stand in front of the microwave tapping our toe because it takes a minute to heat the coffee, give me a break. But, you know, we've been conditioned to having $5 in the gas tank and $5 in our pockets, so we run down to the corner store and we get a gallon of milk. And that's as far ahead as we think. Now, my grandparents went through the Depression, and they made it. It wasn't easy. But on the other hand, they had their garden. They had their pig, they had their turkey, they had their smokehouse, and they basically went to the store, you know, once a month for, you know, coffee and sugar and salt. And that's about it. And we could have gone from that level of, you know, self-sufficiency to this today in such a short period of time. If I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't have thunk it possible.
Yeah, well, they're obviously, you know, what's happening. You and I have talked about this, too, off the air, Marianne, is that there is an awakening going on across the planet.
Oh, yes.
And it's supernatural, and it scares the death out of them that we will figure out what's going on before they've implemented all their plans so that there's no turning back. Well, I think we've awakened too soon, sooner than they expect us to. In fact, they didn't expect us to awaken at all. And
yes,
so they're having
right.
to deal with it. They have to deal with it with Ron Paul. They have to deal with it with us waking up to what's happening to people like Rick Stanley and
right.
Elsabeth Baumgartner from Ohio
right.
and Ed and Elaine Brown from New
right.
Hampshire. And you know, I'm not passing judgment on what these people may or may not have done. That's not the issue. The issue is when the Constitution is being flushed down the toilet and undermined
yes.
because they prefer to work some KGB agents into the NSA and work out a spying program against the people that live in this country, that paid taxes, that fought in wars, that gave their sons and daughters and grandchildren to these monsters as a sacrifice so that their corporate buddies could make fortunes overseas and killing us with poisons and what they call medicines, which are nothing more than more poisons and toxins, poisoning our water, poisoning our food, destroying our lives with the pollution from their rich oil buddies. I could go on and on and on ranting. But it all connects, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does. And let me just, we're coming to a point where I know the program's going to have to close, but you brought us up to a perfect point to make a couple of comments. But, you know, the very, very few at the very, very, very top that really know what they're doing, that I think is really a small, small handful of people compared to the rest of the population of the whole world. And now there's a lot of people who have entered into patterns and life belief systems and that sort of thing. They're going along with the program, but they don't really realize what they're contributing to. But, you know, something came to me when I was contemplating what we were going to be talking about, and it's going to sound something. I guess somebody could say, "Well, that sounds radical." Well, it's really
well, just
not.
Just say it. Well, let us judge you for what you say.
Operation Ricochet. Operation Ricochet. Now, listen. When something's burst through, like a cannonball burst out of a cannon, we were projected onto a path long, long ago. And then we had some juncture points. One was when the United States of America was formed. There was another juncture point in 1913 where the Federal Reserve System was put in place. And then there's been 100 million times other juncture points. Every moment is a juncture point, just a matter of whether something collides with it at any particular point to deviate it off its given course. Now, as we've come into this place in history and this time, we are currently on a curvature path that bodes no good.
Like
we
a spiral.
Have before us
yeah.
a suggested future, and this
yeah.
suggested future based on fear is not very pretty. Now, if we could juncture, you know, if we could... oh, God, give me the words here. If we could bring a collision, okay, the truth spoken into this now moment that would alter that path that we're on and ricochet it off onto another path. Now, it'd be wonderful if we could ricochet it on up, rack it on up to our best potential possibility. And that'd be great, and if that happens, fine. But if we don't do that and we just actually come to a place in the future that is not where we're being currently carried, I think that'd be wonderful. Some people might call that a paradigm shift. But, you know, this thing with Ron Paul, you said it a while ago, the genie's out of the bottle. The genie is out of the bottle. And I pray to God everybody will go to meetup.com, type in their name, and if they're in the interested in, you know, promoting Ron Paul, I surely am. And for we've got December the 16th coming up Sunday. That's the Tea Party of 2007. And if you can't be there in person, bathe their paths in prayer, please. Because we are not doing anything not within a reasonable behavior and action for a free people. We are a free people. We will remain a free people, and thank God for it.
You know, I just thought of a great nickname for you, and this will be something absolutely
I'm in trouble now.
I'm going to call you the walking search engine. You are just loaded with URLs. No, that's great. You know, one thing, Marianne, that came to mind while you were talking, and it's a thought I had earlier today, and I think it came up in a conversation that I had with someone. We have accepted this fiat money system and the banking system, and really our whole reality is focused on a material presence or material consciousness. And because of that, we have given all the power to this illusory system. This is an illusion. This is not real, okay?
Right.
It comes out of thin air, and it's a number. It's a bunch of chicken scratch on a piece of paper, getting down to it. I mean, isn't that what they say in the South? It's just chicken scratch.
Mm-hmm.
The people that can't read, it might as well be chicken scratch.
That's right. I can tell you something else in the South, too. When they go to their little outhouses, they've always got to carry some paper with them.
Well, yes, unless there's a tree with some leaves on it. But
well, you know, you brought up something now that I can say quickly here. One of the things on Dream Along with Rain's website, you will find whole gobs of information. In fact, there's videos and documentaries called the Fiat Empire, you know, system. And you know, I was thinking earlier, I'm glad you brought that up. But, you know, in some of the Caribbean islands and stuff, they might use shells or something to exchange as a form of currency. And I guess in our current currency situation, as I understand it, there's not $1 available that's not first loaned. And then it becomes something that the banks can use. And I thought, well, you know, what if we did have another currency? Well, I guess somebody could just take lead, you know, and bound it out into quarter-size, you know, coins. And then, but I thought, well, how would you distribute them equally or make it available in a market barter type thing? And I thought, well, I guess I'd have to go down and make a loan. And
well,
I'd get some coins.
Well, the first thing you're going to have to do, I think you're going to have, everyone's going to have to come to a realization that they've been believing in an illusion, and you have to come back to knowing. This is the thing, is if you took all the money and burned it, who has the power? Who has the power if you burn up all the paper money?
Right. You know, this national currency, national debt, everything, this is so far above my head, it intrigues me, even though, I mean, I did study economics, macro and microeconomics in college. Of course, I've forgotten a lot of more than I ever learned now. But I know there's some people who really do have, oh my, such insight, such knowledge and wisdom. That's a thing, wisdom. But G. Edward Griffin, you're a member of Freedom Force International. I get his newsletter regularly. And he has I have a tremendous respect for him. And I'll tell you another one. And we mentioned him the other night, and you said you had talked with him or knew of him. But Mr. Palmquist, Richard Palmquist of Truth Radio, man has a phenomenal understanding of this. And not to leave out Bob Chapman, but if we could have a few really, really top-notch people in this area of expertise, I believe we could figure out a way to maintain and gain back our solid currency. And again, just call me Pollyanna, but I think we could do it if we chose to do it. But right now, we've got people who are executing laws and against our will, knowingly, and unfortunately, some of the most harmful things that are being done is that which is not even spoken of or broadcast on our media. And how can you hold accountable those people who do that which is not disclosed? We're going to have to clear the deck. We're going to have to vote some folks, I mean, out of office. I've heard the word impeachment used. I'm not a scholar. I don't know all those things. I heard someone else say, forget impeachment, indict.
That, you know. I've said that myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
You
the,
know,
the impeachment
so I think,
is the slap
we're,
on
we're
the
wrist. We're addressing a lot of problems, a lot of things across the board, but I really, truly believe, Don, the expertise and the quality of your input and many others I could name, and I won't start to name now, or I'll leave off somebody that's top of the list, and I'll make them feel bad, and I'll, and you don't ever want to give offense. That's something to be so careful of.
No, you're going to wear off your lipstick if you do that.
I got it.
Okay, so
I got a ready supply. I carry
carry it in my pocket. That's the reason for this show, Marianne. That's the reason you're here. You know, you're waking people up. You're, you know, and you're, you know, we discuss patriot issues on this network. There's a lot of spiritual talk that goes on.
Yes,
on BBS.
I've noticed that.
But the patriot message comes through loud and clear. You know, we must think about what's happening to this country because we eventually will pay for this spiritually as well as mentally
right.
and physically.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I've interceded in this country for months and months and months now like I have never in my life. But there's a, help me, Father. Let's see. First of all, you know, you and I discussed something, and I said not long ago, and I had made a statement to two or three people actually on air calling into their programs. I don't try to call. I don't. In fact, I don't call unless I feel led to call. That just doesn't happen. But I made this statement to a couple of folks, and I really believe, and Don, I can't articulate this, but I was in intercessions maybe 4 weeks ago. And I mean, we come through something. I don't know what it was, but had it have happened as it was planned, oh, we would have entered into a future so dire, I cannot speak of it. And I do believe that we were delivered. I could give you an example, but I'm not because of time. But we were delivered from the hand of the enemy. As a
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, well, good. See, there's confirmation, and I receive a wonderful letter of prophecy once a day, Monday through Friday, from a wonderful ministry in Colorado. And just about that same time, they sent out their daily prophecy, and the scriptures that they used, what it basically said was God had repented of the evil he had thought to bring upon us. And he will do that. We read that. And then help me, Jesus. Order my thoughts. Establish my steps. Thank you, Father. And so, it'll come back. We are in a time and place. You know, God steps in on the scene when we need him. When everything's all right, nothing happening, nothing going on, got to go to the store, yeah, I got my grocery list. We don't need supernatural intervention. Well, of course, unless we're going to maybe meet a fatal accident, and people have been known to have that happen. But when we get into a situation like that, I will assure you, I will assure anyone who has any doubt whatsoever, we are in a situation right now from which there is no escape without God. And he's provided for that through his Son, in the shed blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. And that brings me to something else. There was a prophecy written years and years and years ago, and I can't remember if this was Kenneth Hagin that wrote this years ago, but it had to do with the coming time when there would be a marriage of the Word and the Spirit. And I heard someone say one time, well, too much Word you dry up and too much Spirit you blow up. Well, I've been on the blow-up side. I live on the aisle of the blow-up side. But it's the Word, and then the anointing's what breaks the yoke. And we do have a matrix that's built around fear, and that fear is the strong man, and it can be broken with the word. And but in Isaiah, I believe it's 55, I wrote it down. But my word, in fact, all of that chapter, that entire chapter, Isaiah 55, I encourage anybody, everybody to read it. But my word that goes forth from my mouth shall not return void, but shall accomplish all that whereunto it is sent. And the centurion that came to Jesus and had the ill servant, and Jesus said, yes, I'll come. And he said, no, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. I'm a man under authority. I tell this servant go, he goes. I tell one servant come, he comes. Speak the word only. And Jesus turned around and he said, in all of Israel, I have not seen so great a faith as this. And he said, go, your servant shall be made whole as you have believed. But we fail to understand how powerful our words are. And even in James, it talks about, you know, how such a small thing turns the ship, you know. But we are in a time and a place. In Second Chronicles, it says, God says, if my people who are called by my name shall repent and humble themselves and pray, I will forgive them and I will heal their lands. And that's where we've got to be right now. And I believe with...
It's time for us to repent, that's for sure. And Marianne, unfortunately, it's also time for us to say goodbye here. We have run out of time. The time just flies.
Well, it's been wonderful. Thank you for having me, Don. God bless you. You're in my prayers daily.
Don't run away yet until I'm finished saying goodbye to you now. I'm going to have you back again. Yeah. You see, now, folks, this is the first time this lady has appeared, to my knowledge, as a full-time guest on a radio show. And she did a marvelous job. And and we're going to call her the walking search engine, I think, too.
Walking mouthpiece or something.
No,
I appreciate that. And for anybody that doesn't know, sometimes people say, Google this. I never Google nothing. I use info.com, and it's a 14-engine search site in one place. And when you go there, you're going to, if somebody's got something better, let them tell me. But anyway, but it has really, you know, when opportunity meets, when preparedness meets opportunity, I feel like I've been, in preparation for a long time for something, but I didn't know what, and I still don't know what completely. But I feel like, I believe, I know in my heart that this tonight has been, what did they say, one step for one small step, but one giant leap for mankind. For me tonight, this has just been a huge leap for me in my growing. And I want to give due honor to all of those from whom I gained so much. I would not be who I am, where I am, with anything of truth in me if it were not for the people who I listen to and people who have preceded me. And Don, we are as pygmies standing on the shoulders of giants, and you are one. And with that, I salute you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for coming on the show. I know that our listeners were blessed by what you had to say. And you spread the word about this new show tomorrow, okay? And we're gonna again carry the torch for Rick Stanley. I'm thinking maybe we'll even be able to take calls during that show, because there may be some new news coming in, or people who want to make some comments about it. So be listening. In the meantime, folks, thank you very much. We've run out of time. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Our special guest this evening, Marianne Ponder, will be back again. And I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. I'll be back tomorrow night, same time, with our special guest, Rick Adams, who is known as the Paul Revere of radio. So please be with us. Peace, light, and love, everybody. And to Juliet, God bless the world. Good night.